Welcome back. Welcome back to America's Heroes Group Roundtable. We serve the world with partner Ron Armstead, CBC Veteran Brain Trust Think Tank. And we also have online Cliff Kelly.
Hey.
Hello. Hey, Cliff. Hi. And he is, of course, our godfather, our governor of talk radio. So he is on the line. We want to, introduce our panelists, Ron Armstead, U.S. Navy veteran, visionary, and executive director of the Veteran Brain Trust. But we want to also extend our deepest condolences on the passing of his mother recently. And also, make an extension out to to nurse Ernesto Borges. His
yes.
wife also passed away. He is one of our panelists in supreme status with Stephanie Borges. So we just want to make our condolences to him.
Absolutely. You're right about that.
Yes.
Wonderful person. And, of course, I knew her also,
right.
You know. But
So, Ron, how are you doing, Ron? We're glad to have
you.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yes.
I'm all right, but I think I wanted to introduce a special guest of ours to the show, and that's the Honorable Sanford Bishop.
Yes.
Congressman Bishop from Southwest Georgia is one of the co-chairs of the Veterans Brain Trust. Is he on the line?
No, he is not on as yet. We don't see his call-in as yet. But, for the CBC Veterans Brain Trust 2020 conference, the new normal, COVID-19, and the impact on the African-American veteran community, maybe you can fill us in, and maybe he's running a little bit late. I know a lot of the congressional members are voting, and they are, tied up with all kinds of things, especially in the current climate. I'm not going to go into any more than that, but we are living in a very special time, especially with the COVID-19. So we'll see if he joins us at some point. But, Ron, why don't you go ahead and just give us an idea of what the Brain Trust is about and what we are, what the endeavors are and how you're approaching this particular issue.
All right. Well, we're basically an advocacy group, advisory group to members of Congress and veterans groups and others around the country.
Mm-hmm.
Over the last 30 years, we've held a annual forum as a part of the annual legislative conference for the Congressional Black Caucus. This year, we are focusing on the coronavirus, which I fondly say is the new normal, because things are not going to go back to the way they were. And trying to get some perspective on where do veterans, and particularly black veterans, fit within this new normal.
Oh, yeah.
So we've invited a number of people, including Cliff.
Okay. Yeah.
Cliff, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm listening. I'm listening to you, and I'm going to ask you something when you finish. Just continue. You're giving us some great information.
All right, including Cliff as a part of our panel. This year, unlike in past years, it's going to be a virtual conference because of the social distancing and et cetera attached with the COVID-19. So we have invited a number of people to participate. Troy Bouchard is the assistant director of AARP out of Louisiana. Catherine Monet is the executive director of the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans. Dr. William Lawson is a member of the Black Psychiatrists of America. And I think that they are trying to get Dr. Fossey.
From
one of the heavy hitters in this thing,
right.
To participate, as well as a couple of other people. And I'm going to leave it to Congressman Bishop to explain who they are and what they bring to the table. But to just have a kind of overall discussion of this COVID-19 and how it's affecting the African-American veterans community. as opposed to just a straight up COVID-19 discussion in black and white.
You know, I am so glad that you're doing that, because of the fact that this is such a dangerous situation, COVID-19, but I don't think a lot of people even think about that when they're talking about the military.
Right.
Yeah.
No, there hasn't been a lot of focus, although, in the state of Massachusetts, we have a soldier's home that 70 veterans died.
Oh, wow.
In the Holyoke Soldiers Home in this state, which caused the Secretary of Veterans Affairs to resign, and a whole report has been done on the impact of how that took place. Even though I don't think mm-hmm. The discussion that is going to take place as a part of our forum will actually focus on Soldiers Home. That is a critical area that we are also looking at.
Yeah.
Something. You know, I think notwithstanding the fact that you've got this horrific situation going, I think a lot of people don't even think about the military. You know, you can have the same thing in the military, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. But see, I don't want to be the focus is the military.
We don't want to focus it, but we can't ignore it. Yeah.
No, we can't ignore it. However, the veterans population is larger than the military.
Oh, great.
The African American veterans population is larger than the active duty military.
Right.
So, you know, the question about where are they getting their care, how are they getting their care, if they're getting their care,
that's right,
is still up for grabs.
Yeah.
Now,
you know,
one of the people.
Well, you know,
we have
Sanford Dixon Bishop Jr., Congressman of Georgia's 2nd Congressional District since 1993, on the phone, Dean of Georgia's Congressional Delegation and ranking Democratic member of the House Appropriations Subcommittee on Military Construction and Veterans Affairs and Related Agency Subcommittee. So I'm very honored to have you on the line, Congressman. We have the governor.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Fine, sir. Good.
All right, Mr. Kelly, Mr. Armstead.
Yes.
Yay. How are you, Congressman?
I am blessed and highly favored.
Listen,
yeah, I'm excited about our Veterans Brain Trust that's coming up on September the 10th.
Oh. Yeah, I was just giving them food for thought, but I'd like you to share with them what we are doing on the September 10th.
Yes, the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation annual legislative conference, which is usually held in Washington during the month of September, is now going to be held virtually. And we have a multitude of brain trusts on every subject, one of which is African-American veterans. And, of course, we've been doing this now for 32 years. Mm-hmm. It was founded by Congressman Charlie Rangel New York, who retired several years ago.
Sure.
But it's been a very, very popular and active brain trust in Washington, very popular with veterans from all over the country. So we have a great program lined up virtually this year, although we can't be face-to-face as we have and enjoy the fellowship of one another as we have in years past. We're going to do it virtually, and it's going to be very exciting. Congresswoman Ada Bernice Johnson of Texas is the co-chair. With me, I am, of course, Sanford Bishop. I represent Georgia. I'm the vice chairman of the Military Construction Veterans Affairs Subcommittee of the Appropriations Committee in the House. And we'll have a great panel. We've got keynote speakers, Dr. Anthony Fauci. He needs no introduction. We've been watching him over the pandemic. We have Vice Admiral Jerome Adams, who is the Surgeon General of the United States and African-American. Mm-hmm. And we also have Lieutenant General retired Nadia West, who just retired as head of the United States Army Military Command and the Surgeon General of the Army. They will be doing keynotes around the subject COVID-19 and the impact on the African-American veterans community. Where do we go from here? And, of course, that will be followed by a panel, which will be moderated by yours, Mr. Cliff Kelly, who did a great job in pulling those panelists together. We have a psychologist, a psychiatrist, I should say. We've got a lady who specializes in homeless veterans, who has great expertise there. We have Dr. Everett Kelly of the American Federation of Government Employees that represent all of the veterans healthcare workers who provide the care for COVID-19 and all of the other veterans care. So we've got a great panel there, and I hope that you'll tune in. It's going to be broadcast at 2 p.m. On September the 10th, and we'll go for 2 hours.
It's at 2 p.m.
So it should be very, very exciting, very interesting. But the way you get in is you just go to cbcf.org and look for the annual legislative conference and the Veterans Brain Trust. You register for it online, and you'll be able to get in with some great, great information.
Okay.
That sounds great. It really does. That's
Excellent.
Oh, no, that's great. But you were mentioning 2 p.m. Is that Eastern Standard Time? Because we broadcast all around the nation.
I believe that's Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah. Eastern Standard. Okay, yes, sir.
I forget that you're on Central.
Yes, sir.
Right.
But you're living in a beautiful state. So, you know, I've been through Georgia quite a few times, and that's a beautiful place to go through.
Yes, we've got mountains. We've got
Did you say go through?
And to stop and eat too.
Yeah, that's right.
But I was wondering, you know, one of the things is that we're coming up over the time period where, you know, with the COVID-19, it's going to impact a lot of things.
Elections,
and we don't know how this is affecting our veterans who already have disabilities as well. How it's going to play out if, you know, people don't wear the mask and take care of them and socially distance and wash their hands. So, you know, is there anything that you have a concern about with that? And, you know, we are a not-for-profit, so we're nonpartisan in our viewpoints, but we do believe that you have the right to vote and to get out there and vote.
So
do you have any advice on that?
You know, politics is nothing more than who gets what, when, and how, and it's elected officials that make those decisions.
Yes,
and, of course, in our brain trust, the Surgeon General of the Army, Lieutenant General Nadia West, first and foremost admonished everyone to follow the public health guidelines, wash your hands, wear your mask, and keep social distance. Because we got to stay healthy. But more importantly than that, we must vote. And I understand that we're in a nonpartisan setting right now, but voting is our constitutional duty, and it determines what our voice is. Our elected officials listen to the voters, the people who put them in office. And, of course, our vote is our voice. So, if you want to influence policies, you need to put people in place by voting who will implement those policies. And, of course, we have a lot of needs for our veterans. COVID-19, it has targeted the African-American community harder than any other community. And, of course, the black veterans population makes up a larger segment of those veterans who have been impacted by COVID-19. We have a lot of discussion about that in this Rain Trust that's coming up.
Yes.
So I hope that everybody will tune in and that you will absolutely get all of the information there, but more importantly, that sometime between now and November the 3rd that you cast your vote. Mm-hmm. Make sure that your voice is heard. And also make sure that you participate in the census. We have a census only once every 10 years.
Right.
And that census determines our political power because district lines are drawn based upon the population for our state houses, our state senate houses, and our United States House of Representatives. So your political power will be determined by whether or not you register with the census, as well as the resources that come from the federal government. Billions of dollars every year are distributed across the country, whether it's for education or for health care, public health, transportation, the roads, clean water and clean air, and loans that are available. All of the things that are distributed by the federal, they are determined by a formula that is driven by the census.
You know,
this census is done once every 10 years, and once you get locked in with that certain number, you're stuck for 10 years. So we want to make sure that everybody and every community, especially our communities, get all of the resources to which we are entitled. We don't want kids to show up for school when they're expecting a one-number population and they got a double population, because that means that kids are going to be cheated.
Yes.
We want to make sure that when people need to get their nutrition programs, school lunch programs, or a SNAP, or food stamps, or any of the other programs, that they know the accurate number of people who would be eligible, and mm-hmm. so that the resources won't be short. We want to make sure that everyone has access to the full benefits of the federal government, and to get that, you got to register for the census. You got to be counted. So I urge everybody to be counted, and I urge everybody to let that vote be counted.
Yes, you know,
you said it all, and you did it well.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people think that that's not important. It is extremely important that everybody do that, and I'm just so glad that you put it out there so well as you have.
Yeah.
And we need to continue to make sure everybody knows the importance of getting that money where it needs to be.
Yes. And, you know, I think Fort Benning is in Georgia, right?
Yes, it is. It's right down the street from where I am right now.
So I'm saying those soldiers are very well protected and covered by a great congressional member named Sanford Dixon Bishop, Jr. So it sounds like you're doing wonderful things for veterans in the congressional.
Thank you. You know, I represent Fort Benning, which is known as the Maneuver Center of Excellence, the infantry and the armor schools combined.
Yes.
I also represent the Worldwide Logistics Headquarters for the Marine Corps. Marine Corps Logistics Base Albany, which is in Albany, Georgia. And I'm just a stone's throw from Robins Air Force Base, which is in Middle Georgia, in Warner Robins, Georgia, right next to Macon. So I have a large military population, and I have a large veterans population. And these are people that I am obligated to support because of their service and because they are my constituents.
May I ask the question?
Yes, sir.
In talking with Jonathan on Congressman Bishop's staff, it was brought to my attention that there was a epidemic of sorts in Albany. Could you say anything about what's happening in Albany with the COVID-19, Congressman?
Well, Albany was hit very, very hard early in the pandemic. Back in March, Albany was the epicenter for Georgia. Fortunately, we were able to work with our health system down there, the Phoebe Health System, to work with the state Department of Health and to try to get all the resources that we could. And, of course, we've gotten that under control in the Albany area, but there are some rural areas just outside of Albany in southwest Georgia that are having accelerated rates. And, of course, we are trying to deal with that as best we can. But the pandemic escalation that was in Albany has now come under control. But we are worried about other places in Georgia where it's expanding. And, of course, that is something that is a result of not staying closed with social distancing long enough, opening the economy a little bit too soon, and not having mandatory masks. Certain cities had it, and, of course, there was a dispute between the mayor of Atlanta and some of the other larger cities that put mask restrictions in place. and the governor, who wanted to open the economy earlier, and so they threatened to go to court. That was a lawsuit filed, but they ended up settling it, and the governor has now urged people to wear masks, which is a good thing. Mm-hmm. And of course, the cities are now free to enact whatever mask restrictions they like based upon their local conditions. Yeah. But we mm-hmm. did have a tough time in Albany. We had a very, very high death rate. Our hospital capacity was maxed out. But we got extra relief there. We expanded our capacity. We expanded our ventilators, and we expanded our testing. And as a result of that, and the leadership in Albany, the county commission, the city commissions, the school superintendents, the sheriffs, all of the leaders of the community came together and agreed that we needed to shut down. We needed to shelter in place. We needed to wear the mask until we could get it under control, and that's what happened.
Yeah, you know.
Let me just mention that, because that is so important, what you're talking about. How do you deal with, in a military base, how do you deal with distance of people being too close together?
Well, the military and Fort Benning, they implemented very strict protocols. Obviously, when Fort Benning is a training facility.
Right.
And so what they did was when soldiers were brought in to begin that training, they had to undergo a 2-week quarantine. Before they began their training, they had to be tested as soon as they arrived, quarantined for 2 weeks to make sure that they were safe. And, of course, that training was being conducted with distance between them, except when it's absolutely necessary, and face coverings are required.
Mm-hmm.
Every place on the base, face coverings are required.
Face covering.
There were some incidents of COVID-19 on the base, but they isolated those individuals, and of course they put in very strict protocols for quarantining the new people that were coming in. If anybody was diagnosed, that they were quarantined and couldn't leave. And of course, immediately after the pandemic became so widespread, the Department of Defense shut down all changes of station.
Yes.
So that people had to be quarantined before they could move. And of course, they later were able to resume movements. But they put strict protocols in place.
Yeah, you know, Congressman, I was a former state health director for Illinois, and I'm helping the state out a bit now. But one of the things I started pushing for in March, and actually we just started the first round of them, are influenza shots early, making sure that people get their flu shots early so that they don't wait till October, November, when we may have this secondary pandemic wave, you know, that may come through. And so there seems to be a need to make sure that the right messages are getting out there. And if we do get a vaccine, that especially for, you know, the communities of color, where there are some myths and some, you know, rational thoughts around protecting themselves. But we need to break those things down. So I'm really glad that you're having this conference to bring some experts on to make sure that people listen and start talking about the things that are important to make sure we survive. But
absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Because, you know, and the one good thing is that we're on the radio right now.
Yes.
And people in this, and I understand that Cliff Keller has a wide listening audience.
Yes.
And it's important for that listening audience to know that they need to get those flu shots. They need to get to make sure that they are protected, because we don't want to have a double whammy come the fall with the flu as well as the coronavirus.
Yes.
Right.
We need to take the precautions all that we can. We need to exercise the public health guidelines, washing your hands, using those face coverings, and keeping the social distance whenever it's possible.
Okay, Congressman, that's a great way to, it's a great way to end our show. We only have like a few seconds to go. So I wanted to just thank you for coming in, and And you can give us a really short close and let us know what you think we need to know right up to the moment, Congressman.
Well, please tune in September the 10th at 2 p.m. Eastern Time for the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation Annual Legislative Conference Veterans Brain Trust. We've got a very, very exciting panel for you, a great information that I think will be helpful to African-American veterans all over this country. So we look forward to having you tune in and keep in touch.
Yeah, Congressman.
Listen, I just want to tell you, I think this is Cliff. You're doing a great job. Just keep it up, all right?